Hello and welcome to the 13th edition of the Next Man Up podcast. My name is Logan and I'm joined by everyone's favorite American-Ukrainian resident Sixers fan. That's Anthony Letzvenyuk. Anthony, say what's up.
What's up?
And so today we're going to be talking about just our initial reactions and breakdowns of what's been going on in this 2021 NBA season, which is kind of, you know, wacky, I would say, so far. Obviously, with the weird start date and a couple games already been postponed because of COVID-related issues. But yeah, it's been a weird one. And some of the teams that are at the top of the standings in both conferences are kind of funky as well, especially in the East. But one of those teams that's sort of at the top of the Eastern Conference standings is the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm basically just going to give Anthony free rein here to just talk about the Sixers. What do you like? What do you not like about Sixers early on? And what do you think they need to do moving forward?
Start with the positive. Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have his best year as a 76er this year. He finally has shooters around him, like multiple shooters. And they're feeding him the ball constantly and just letting him do what he does. Draw fouls, yeah. Post up, just bully in the paint. And last year, you know, that slowed down a lot. He only averaged 23 points. And right now he's averaging 29,
mm-hmm.
like 15-plus rebounds as well. So it's just awesome to see him finally being so dominant like he usually is.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think the trade for Harden needs to happen. The floor is just so clogged watching Simmons. I love Simmons, don't get me wrong. He is a great passer and he's a very good facilitator. It just doesn't work in this offense with, you know, Joel Embiid down there and Tobias Harris, who also likes to get into the mid-range paint area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just having Harden would be so good as well with Embiid resting. Like, you know, he needs to. Big man, injury prone.
Mm-hmm. So it just and Harden plays every game, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a floor raiser. And right now, Simmons is not. So, yeah. Like, against the Cavs, you know, he's our best player on that floor. And he's shooting only, like, 10 shots that game. And so, either he provides more on the floor or we need to trade him. You know, that's what I see. Seth Curry playing great, doing exactly what he needs to do, making threes, make great passes. I actually think he should get more ball usage instead of Simmons. He moves the ball around quicker. And I just like how he plays. I like how he plays at the one, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Danny Green, he's been okay. He starts off so slow in the beginning of games, but he hits clutch threes in the fourth quarter. That's all I'm gonna say. He comes up clutch. Like these past few games, he's been hitting, you know, clutch threes in the corner, and you know I'm glad. I still think Shake should get more minutes than him. Just a very good piece off the bench.
Yeah.
So, and Toby, like I predicted, is doing a lot more, like doing so much better under Doc, and I love to see it because I think he's a great player, and hasn't been playing to his best ability. So, but this season, he's starting off strong. He's just got to keep being consistent and scoring at least 20 points per game for us, especially with that contract he's getting paid.
Yeah, it looks like right now he's averaging 17, but his three-point percentage is up at 40%, which is good to see.
Oh, yeah. Love to see it for sure.
Yeah, and then who was it? Shake Milton, you know, he's looking like he's playing pretty well, but Danny Green, who you just alluded to, starting off game slow, it does look like he's starting off the season pretty slow, shooting 33% from the field and 20% from three.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm guessing he's going to definitely turn out to be better than that as the season goes on. The math will even out a little bit with that. But I do think that I'm intrigued by a Harden trade for sure for this Philly roster.
It just makes so much sense.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a whole lot of teams out there that I think a Harden trade really makes a lot of sense for. One of them, my team, the Nuggets. I just don't really like the idea of a Harden trade that much for my team. But for yours, I really do think that it just has the pieces to work. And so do you think, you know, Simmons kind of starting off this season a little slow also, do you think that he's the asking price of just Simmons straight up for Harden is any different than what it seemed to be a couple weeks ago? Do you think that you would have to throw in more than just Simmons to get Harden?
No. I think, you know, people still value Simmons very high just because he's so young and his just physicality, his size, his playmaking ability, and his defense. And he's already starting very strong on the defensive end, locking down multiple players and just, you know, stat padding with the steals and blocks, honestly. It's just, it's fun to watch him on defense.
Yeah.
So, I think he's still valued at the same. And I wouldn't be surprised if we would have to add someone in. You know, but I think Simmons' value is still very high, and just how young he is. Only one, like, real impactful injury he's had, which was his first season. And the one in the bubble was just a quick surgery that shouldn't, you know, cause him problems in the future. True. So, yeah, I think he's still very high valued. And, you know, the Rockets organization looks like they want Harden out too. So I think it's just a win-win trade. Harden will be happy in Philly. Fits better. Simmons, you know, gets a fresh start. I love Simmons with all my heart, you know. I love him.
But sometimes you gotta let go.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't know how long Embiid's gonna stay healthy, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people are thinking, like, 3-4 more seasons, maybe even less. So it's like, we gotta win now.
And yeah.
I really want to see that. So
and you think trading Ben Simmons, yeah, gets you more to that point for a win now type scenario.
Yeah, possibly like even Zach LaVine. Like, that would still, I think, be a huge help. Especially. I think it would even out the court and be fun to watch as well.
I think stylistically Zach LaVine would be probably an upgrade, but I don't know about championship contender. If you got this team just minus Simmons, add Zach LaVine. I definitely see it more with the Harden one.
Yeah.
That would be definitely intriguing. I kind of like the fit of Harden and Embiid together in a weird way. Just because, you know, there's some things you could do together in the pick and roll. Embiid can also stretch the floor a little bit as well. You know, I think Harden is playing with probably the most versatile and dynamic big man he's ever played with before right now with Christian Wood. I think Embiid will provide a little bit of that tandem stylistically, but then also on top of that, Embiid's just a superstar who can score for you at the end of games. So there's that. And also, I kind of like that trade for the Rockets side as well, getting Ben Simmons. And also the fit of Ben Simmons alongside Christian Wood is kind of fun too. So I think that's a win-win trade for both sides. I honestly don't – if I was the Rockets, I would be fine with just taking Ben Simmons back straight up. But obviously want to barter and negotiate to get possibly even more. I could see them getting Ben Simmons and maybe even like Terrence Ferguson or Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or something like that. But yeah, who knows? Sixers. Keep going if you have more thoughts.
You know,
how's Korkmaz doing?
He's hurt.
He is?
Yeah, and I don't think he should be getting that many minutes overall as well.
Okay.
He's too much of a liability on defense, and his 3-point shooting is so inconsistent. So I don't like seeing him over on the floor over, you know, Matisse Thybulle, Terrence Ferguson. I just don't see why he's on the floor more than them.
Yeah.
And it's irritating. So, I mean, I'm not glad that he's hurt. I would never wish an injury on a player. But, you know, Matisse Thybulle might be able to shine in these minutes he's getting, because he's been getting very little to none. So, I want to see him succeed.
Yeah, yeah, so. For sure. And how have your the new rookies with the Sixers been doing? Tyrese Maxey, Isaiah Joe?
Maxey, I really like him. He brings a lot to the floor just with his passing and his driving ability. His shooting, though, could definitely improve. I don't think he's made a three this season yet. So, but especially coming off the bench, him and Dwight Howard have so much chemistry. So they work very well with the pick and roll and just alley-oops. Just, I love the combo there. So, and I love how many minutes Maxey's getting, because he's right on the floor with the second unit. And I he's very quick, fast, good at defense. So I think he'll provide a lot, especially even if that Simmons trade happened, I think he would actually end up getting even more minutes. So,
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that.
Yeah. So really like how he's turning out.
Yeah. If you make that Simmons trade, I think you have the pieces too to fill in and fill that void defensively with Matisse. Assuming, you know, all you lose is Simmons. You still got Thybulle, Ferguson. Danny Green is still somewhat of a defender. And then Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton. You still got those guys. Yeah. So obviously you're going to take a big hit defensively, but you can fill up as best you can. How has Isaiah Joe got any playing time at all?
He has not. So I'm not surprised with that, though. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to get real minutes right now. I'm just surprised Ferguson hasn't gotten any minutes at all.
Oh, yeah.
So that's been a little weird, because I thought he was going to get some time, at least like in the third quarter, just around that time. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, how Doc sees practice going and how he wants the rotation to be, you know?
Yeah, but for sure. So where do you see the Sixers at the end of the season? Do you see them in the top four seeds how they are right now? Or where do you see them falling?
The Harden trade doesn't happen. Fifth. Harden trade does happen. Second.
There we go.
Yeah. So.
So do you think if the Harden trade happens, who you picking to take out of the East, coming out of the East?
Like top seeds or what?
Or no, to make it to the finals.
Oh, to make it to the final. I still think the Nets are just too good right now. If they stay healthy, dude. KD's playing like himself. Kyrie's playing like himself.
Which Dinwiddie's already out for the season.
Yep.
So that's a pretty big hit, but but they're pretty deep though. LeVert, they're deep.
Mm-hmm. You know, LeVert I think is actually better than Dinwiddie, so he's actually going to get more minutes, I feel like. But so I still think they could take down Lakers, Clippers, whoever is going at it in the finals with them. So. Because I think they're going to be in the finals. I think they play they play that well together. There's no selfishness. They just do what they do and do it together, and have such a great chemistry, that whole team does. So.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. We got the Nets winning the NBA championship.
I was suspect of how they would play together.
Yeah.
But it's looked really good, and it's fun to watch too. So I definitely like it better than KD being on the Warriors.
I'd agree. Yeah,
this season's gonna be competitive, I feel like. You know, Lakers aren't looking as good, and in my opinion,
oh really?
LeBron looks actually slower this season.
You know, we were saying the same exact thing at the beginning of last season. So, there's that.
Yeah. But I think we actually might be right this time.
Okay, so. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I feel like I've been tricked into that the past two seasons now. And come playoff time last year, he proved that he was still the most dominant player in the league. So, or at least, you know, among them. So I'd assume that that is what happens again this year. I think just the end game for LeBron at this point is just riding that wave in the regular season, kind of coasting through it, resting his body, you know, load managing, turning it on when he needs to, and then come playoff time, that's when it really gets serious. So I'd expect we see some more high-level play out of him within the next at least couple postseasons, but I guess we'll see with that. But Lakers are still my pick for the championship, yeah, this year. And then, so let's move on to the Denver Nuggets, which is my favorite team in the NBA. They have not been doing so hot in the win column so far. We are 1-3 right now. And last year we started off 4-0. So that it's a bit of a drop off. Also, for those of you who've listened to this podcast before, I was not very happy with the off season that the Denver Nuggets had. They went in very different directions in terms of who we kept around in free agency. Deciding to re-sign Paul Millsap, which I was fine with, but I would have liked to see.
Pretty good deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's getting about $10 million now per year, as opposed to 30, which was his last contract. I kind of like Paul Millsap around that number, maybe even less, around the 6 or 7 range. But I think Paul Millsap has played well so far. I've been impressed with how Paul has played in the first 4 games, but I would have liked to see us re-sign Jeremy Grant. But that really, I guess, is more on his part than ours, since we actually did match his offer from Detroit. He just wanted to go to a place where he'd have more usage offensively. And
I mean, he's showing out, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten that wish for, you know, more usage offensively. But, you know, Detroit's not going to be doing anything this year, I don't think. Probably going to end up at the bottom 3 of the East, and probably bottom 3 in the league in terms of record come the end of the season. So I guess if that's what he wants, that's fine with me. You know, I've been a Jeremy Grant fan since he was in college at Syracuse, so kind of sucks to see him go, but I am happy for him to get his bread and to get his usage as well. But then we also, on top of that, on top of losing Jeremy Grant, who, you know, I thought was the prototypical type of player that we need to build around Jokic with, which is just a long, versatile defender capable of shooting threes on the offensive end. The other guys that we had like that were Torrey Craig, who, you know, kind of minus the 3-point ability with him, but still fits more into that mold than anybody else we have, really. We lost him as well to the Bucks, and we just let him walk, basically, on that one. Didn't attempt to match it. And he got, I'm pretty sure, a pretty minimal deal. And then the other person was Kata Bates-Diop, who didn't really play at all last season, but he was kind of in that mold of being just a long, you know, versatile, switchable defender, and he probably had maybe even a better 3-point shot than Jeremy Grant did. So he would have been nice to keep around. But in the draft, we did end up getting Zeke Nnaji, who I was not happy about at first because, according to draft guide stuff that I read, he seemed to be a really prototypical, like, center, like just a traditional center. That was just going to be a rim protector, pretty slow-footed and stuff like that, wouldn't be able to play alongside Jokic. But after watching him in the preseason and the little time that he's got in the regular season so far, he just his build and everything, he actually does seem more like a Kata Bates-Diop or a Jeremy Grant than I was expecting. Like, he has a nice, slender build. He's been shooting threes really well in the preseason. Defensively, I'm not really sure quite yet if he's going to be mobile enough to guard wings. Keep going.
Jeremy Grant started his career off slow too, so he's gotten better with every year. So you know that may be the same thing for Najee. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. So, but I guess that's a pleasant surprise that he does seem to be a little bit more alongside the terms of type of player that I want with Jokic, not just a rim protecting center. That kind of thing we did get in Isaiah Hartenstein, which I'm fine with, having just a backup guy to come in and play defense down there at the block. And he's been playing pretty well so far in the regular season. He fills the stat sheet when he comes in with just like points and rebounds. If he were to play mid 20-ish minutes per game, I'd see him as like a 10-10 guy every night. But, you know, he's basically just in when Jokic is out. So it's more like 12 to 15 minutes per game. Yeah. Will Barton has started off a little slow. He had one really good game. Since then has been okay. Jamal Murray has started off very slow as well. Last game that he played, which was two games ago, because he was out last game with some, I think he had a bruised thigh or something like that. But he started off pretty slow, but two games ago he was coming back to his former self in that fourth quarter against the Rockets. He was kind of stroking it from deep, looking a little bit more like Bubble Murray, but not quite so far yet this season. Michael Porter Jr. has been incredible. I love Michael Porter Jr. so much.
Great player.
I don't want him to get traded for James Harden.
And he shouldn't. I don't think no reason to trade him.
Yeah. And so that's how I feel about him right now. I know that, you know, there's a lot of people who slander Michael Porter Jr. for being like selfish and immature and stuff like that, just because of his post game comments from that one playoff game last year. But you know, I'm on team MPJ. I like him. He makes the most difficult shots look so easy.
Like KD?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit like KD, or Tracy McGrady is another guy that I think he kind of plays like. You know, sometimes he takes these kinds of shots that it's like, oh, that was a bad, and then it goes in, and it's like, okay, never mind, that was a good shot. And just his fit alongside Jokic being a nice, tall, like, a target on offense. He plays really hard, gets a lot of offensive rebounds, stuff like that. I really like him. I like this trio that we have going right now, Jamal Murray, MPJ, and Nikola Jokic. I know a lot of people also keep going.
Just a weaker bench, yeah.
Yeah, just a weaker bench.
Without, you know, not having Grant and Craig.
Yeah. Yeah, and defense. Yeah, that's the big thing. We can't guard anybody.
It's probably your best defensive players, yeah. Huh. That's funny.
Yeah.
Kind of, but not really.
Wait, who's our best defensive player?
I was going to say Grant and Craig.
Oh.
Them too. Or do you think Harris is?
Harris is, yeah. Off of last season's team, Harris, I would definitely choose number one. Mm-hmm. Grant, probably second. And honestly, PJ Dozier and Craig were kind of tied. So we do have Harris and Dozier right now. Those are our only two, like, lockdown defenders, though. And Dozier is pretty inexperienced.
Yeah.
I would like to see RJ Hampton get some run. He is intriguing defensively, and he seems so, like, the very few minutes that he's had so far, he's just so quick. He looks like one of the fastest players in the league. I'm sure he probably is.
Yeah, probably very good in transition, which, you know, would be great to have, because I feel like the offense is very slow for the Nuggets. You know, they like to get into that half-court offense with Jokic. So,
which Jokic has been fantastic so far. I couldn't have asked for like a better start to the season. He's averaging 25, 14, and 12 right now. So pretty good. He had an 18 assist game the other night. And it looked like he could have had 30 if he just wanted to
quadruple double, right?
Oh yeah, he did have a quadruple double from turnovers. So you know, try to dial that back a little bit, but
you expect it out of someone who is basically the whole offense. So
yeah, but if you think about it, it was a 3-to-1 turnover ratio, which isn't bad. A turnover, yeah, like a to assist ratio. He had 18 assists and 6 turnover. Or no, he had more than that because it was double digits. So never mind. But I was just really bad at math there. But yeah, I think Jokic has been really good so far. And against that Rockets team with a lot of those young guys in there, he was just picking them apart. Like, he didn't even take a shot in the second half. And he ended up with 18 assists. Felt like it could have been more if he stayed in there. And if that was what his goal was, I felt like he could have done it. But Monte Morris has been really solid, you know. And also Gary Harris has been
back to himself.
For the most part, his three-point shot has still been really off. He's shooting 18% right now. Yikes. But in terms of him and Jokic's, like, chemistry, like him, you know, passing it to Jokic and then immediately cutting to the rim, that kind of stuff has been amazing. I really like Gary Harris on the offensive end. But defensively, honestly, I don't think there's a more underrated player in the NBA than Gary Harris. He just comes up with so many steals and turnovers and just, like, tips in general that makes the opposing team's offense slow down and get kind of wonky. So I've liked to see that from him a lot. He just always has such active hands and he's staying in front of his man. But yeah, I just want him to hit threes more consistently. Honestly, more to like the Paul Millsap level, who has been on fire lately from three, shooting 55%.
He loves that corner three, right?
Yeah, he does.
That's what I remember.
He does love the corner three. Yeah, for full assessment from my team so far, Denver Nuggets, I think they're doing okay on a player-to-player basis. Need to grab some wins, that's for sure. I don't really – like, I think Facu, the Argentinian,
yeah,
I think he's a cool story, but I would like to see more of his minutes go to RJ Hampton. I don't want another thing – another really Mike Malone-ish type thing to happen where he's just focusing on playing veteran players in those minutes and not developing the younger guys. I want to see what RJ Hampton can turn into and see if we can fit him in somewhere in our future with this trio of Jokic, Porter, and Murray. If he comes in and is, you know, one of those other two pieces that I would like to have, you know, very high-level defenders for those other two spots in the starting five, I would like to see if RJ Hampton can turn into that.
So, like, what do you think the main problem though is with this Nuggets team?
So far, it's definitely defense. Not even a question. Like I said before, our only good defenders are Harris and Dozier. Jokic has been okay in spots. You know, he's averaging 1.5 steals per game, but you know, obviously at the rim isn't going to provide you much. Porter has been making some ridiculous blocks at really key moments in the game, so I like what I've seen from Porter in spots defensively, but he's still, you know, need to work on that being in the right place at the right time and awareness factor on the defensive side. Dozier's been good basically in every single way. He just needs more minutes. That's really it. You know, he's shooting 60% from three, which I'm sure is going to go down. He defensively has looked really good. And I'd assume Nuggets, we're going to end up somewhere in the top 5 to 6 for sure. Seeds at the end of the season in the Western Conference, I'd say even probably higher than that. I just think starting off, we've run into some interesting games, especially those two against the Kings. We should have won the first one. They won off that Buddy Hield tip at the end, and it shouldn't have even got to that, just because there was some questionable calls down the stretch of the game. And also Jamal Murray fouled out before overtime.
So,
there's that. And so I think, we're definitely going to grab some wins coming up here in the schedule. I'm not too worried. I guess I'll just say that. And I'm also not too worried about any of these teams that have really fallen behind in the standings, like the Mavericks, like the Bucks, like the Heat, even Raptors. I think might be one of the only ones that I'm actually kind of worried about. You know, I think we should trust in Nick Nurse for sure, but they just don't have the same type of unit that they're accustomed to over the past couple seasons.
They're getting destroyed in the paint as well. Baines is not, doing a great job down there.
So they're really missing Gasol and Ibaka for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think another thing is they're trying to transition into having Van Vliet as more of the on-ball creator, and trying to transition Kyle Lowry out of that role as he gets older. Mm-hmm. But that's so far, they're having some hiccups with that, I would say. I think Van Vliet has built his career with the Raptors off of being Lowry's backcourt mate playing off the ball.
Yeah.
And we're just right now kind of trying to transition that. Has been rough. I do trust this Pistons 0-4 start, though. I think
what about the Wizards, though?
That one I was about to get to. I think that definitely surprises me. I know you had, how high did you have the Wizards?
7 seed, dude. I'm worried. 7? I was thinking, their losses haven't been terrible, though. Not like 20-point losses. But they just, they don't have like a backup point guard for Westbrook. It's tough when...
I think they do. They do in Ish Smith. They need to stop playing the lineups of Neto, Smith, and Russell Westbrook, all three on the floor at the same time.
I don't see the point of that.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think the problem is Brooks. Then I think he's got to go.
I don't understand that at all. I don't know if you could think up a worse type of player to fit on the court with Russell Westbrook than a traditional ball dominant point guard who can't shoot or defend. Mm-hmm. And that's what both Ish Smith and Raul Neto are.
Neto's just the worst point guard I've ever seen. And I feel bad for Wizards fans. I truly do. And, like, the fact that Westbrook has been getting blame as well when he has actually been very good for them and had, like, gives the team a plus, a plus on the plus-minus scale, just on the floor with them. Mm-hmm. He has been good. He should not get any blame. Bertans is not getting the minutes he should be getting.
Yeah, I agree.
And that team has potential. Thomas Bryant has been playing well. Mm-hmm. But, dude, they need to get things figured out because I put him high.
And Avdija. Denny Avdija has been playing well, too.
Yeah, and Bradley Beal is one of my favorite players in the NBA. So I feel bad for him, too, because he needs a team. He needs a team and a coach.
Yeah.
Which he's never really had. Just kidding, he has, but not a great one.
Yeah. I think this Wizards team will turn around soon. They're just, I don't know. It's pretty wacky right now. I like what you said about Bertans. He needs to be playing more minutes. I don't understand why you'd ever have a lineup out there with Russell Westbrook out there that doesn't have Bertans in it.
Yeah.
Like, that I think looking at your roster, those are the two easiestly, like, connective players of, like, these two are going to have chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
You got for sure, a drive-and-kick athletic point guard and one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA in Bertans. So why ever play them not together? It doesn't make sense.
Because Beal's going to be getting so much attention as well.
Yeah.
So it's just that trio right there is just such a good, like, put together trio that just needs a simple coach. It's just,
yeah,
it's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I say don't play Neto anymore. I think
he shouldn't be on a team in the NBA. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think Ish Smith should back up Russell Westbrook. So every, you know, Westbrook should be playing 33, 34 minutes a game, probably something like that. And put in Ish Smith in those, you know, 15 to 14 minutes that Westbrook's not on the floor. That'll be fine. I think he's capable of running a backup unit offense. And then Bradley Beal should be playing, you know, 35, 36 minutes a game, probably something like that.
Yep.
And Avdija, I like him in the starting lineup. You know, him coming off the bench, I think he could fit anywhere. Thomas Bryant has been good, you know, and Troy Brown Jr. I think will start playing a little bit better than he has so far, but I think he's a pretty nice piece. I just think that there's ways to run this roster that has not been done so far.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you might owe an apology to the Indiana Pacers. If I remember correctly, I think you had the Wizards ahead of them in your standings. Did you not?
I think I did. Yeah. I do. I just, for some reason, like every time I think of the Pacers every year, I feel like they're going to have a down year. Mm-hmm. But Oladipo playing like an all-star, Sabonis playing like a first-team center.
Yep.
Miles Turner coming off the bench.
If Jokic wasn't in the league, I'd say first team center, yeah.
Or Embiid. So
true. We'll give him third team, but a very strong third team. Sabonis has been really good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean
Brogdon very solid is, player. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I don't think I know the Pacers that well. I guess I just don't really, haven't looked at like their other pieces. But I do apologize. Also, I love the Thunder fans apologizing to Isaiah Roby, Tank Commander Roby.
Yeah, he had a breakout game the other night. He started, which I was surprised about.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't even know that it was happening till like, I don't know, pretty late in the game. I think you texted me, and I turned it on League Pass because I was going to watch the Nuggets game soon anyways. And so I turned it on League Pass, and I see that was right before he had where he dropped Vucevic to the ground and then drove to the lane and dunked.
So good. Oh, yeah. So awesome.
He had like 19 and 7. He was 9 for 12 from the field.
Yeah. So a super efficient game, and it's like going against Vucevic in your first start. It's like, that's not easy to do. Like, I expected Vucevic to have a good game against him because Roby's not the best center build.
Yeah, but, for sure.
You know, I hope he keeps on this role. Like, I hope he keeps this going, and I hope he gets minutes. You know, because that's his like first real minutes this season, and like in the start. So it's just out of nowhere. But that Thunder team, they're not far from being a playoff team again.
Yeah, within the next few years, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
because Shea has been so good. Dort,
yeah.
Dude,
Dort is going to be a top five defensive guard very soon. Probably, maybe even right now. He's close to it. He's a great player. Yeah.
And, you know, you got Roby now, Maladon. Paku.
Yeah.
Can't forget Paku. So, they're only going to be drafting more players, and they're going to have a top they're going to have a top pick this year. So, they got to do a better job of tanking, I think. But I'm excited. So, to see what they can
do. For sure. How many games have they won? Are they
The standings? Not quite sure.
Are there 1-2? Okay.
1-2. But they've had close losses, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I know that the players on the court obviously aren't trying to lose. I don't think they should, you know. Yeah. I don't think they should go full on Sixers, trust the process.
Competitive losses, you could say.
I think the general managers and people should be wanting to lose. I think that the coaching staff and the players should still have a winning mentality. Just because I think once it's kind of hard to just tank and develop the, like, get the pieces and then just decide to turn it on. Oh, like, oh, now it's time to win. Just because you've kind of raised your players in a losing culture kind of type of thing where you, it's kind of hard to turn around. I think I'm not saying that you need to win games. I'm just saying you need to try to win games from a player and coach basis. That's my opinion anyways, but I think that, you know, just with the other rosters in the West, they are definitely going to end up in the bottom. And so I'm sure Thunder will have a top five pick in this draft, which is going to be big for them for sure.
Definitely. And it's a pretty deep draft. So
yeah,
I maybe even trade up. I mean, cause you know, Jalen Green is very good as well. They want Cade Cunningham, a lot of Thunder fans.
Yeah.
So,
makes sense. You know, he's at Oklahoma State right now. So that makes sense. Also, he just looks like he's going to be a star.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
so,
I think we should do our good buddy Jacob Roth a little bit of a favor and end this episode just by touching on the Celtics. Really quick.
One more thing, actually. Suns. The Suns.
Oh, yeah, Celtics. We haven't talked about the Suns. The bright future Suns have turned into the right now Suns.
Dude.
They are winning games, playing really well, even without, like, their best players playing that well.
Yeah.
Like, last game, Devin Booker had 8 points. Chris Paul had 9.
Bridges, Johnson.
Cameron Payne has turned into an NBA player. That's crazy.
Yeah, going from a bust to a great second
role,
like,
player.
Backup point guard. Role player, yeah. It's crazy to see.
He's been really good. Jay Crowder has been playing well.
And Ayton has not been playing good either. So
yeah.
Like, it's just, I predicted Monty Williams to be coach of the year.
It could happen.
And I think he should, especially with how things are going right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll switch over to the Celtics really quick before we close this episode. We will go over other teams soon. I think we're going to return to doing episodes on a week to every 2 week type of basis, just to kind of catch up with what's going on in the league. Been kind of busy in the holiday season. So that's why we haven't had an episode in a while. But we're starting off 2021 strong here with you guys.
Yes.
So, but yeah, to close, let's talk about the Celtics. I think the Celtics have been really surprising so far, with not in terms of, like, games they've won or anything like that, but, like, where their contributions are coming from on their team. What are your initial thoughts about the Celtics so far, Anthony?
Yeah, solid. I mean, right now, I predicted them third seed, I'm pretty sure. Second or third, maybe even second. But they kind of started how I thought they would start, kind of slow, but getting better as the season goes on. Tatum has been all right.
Yeah,
Think he could definitely be better.
For sure,
Jaylen Brown, I think he could have a big season.
He's looking like it so far.
Definitely, Jeff Teague has been solid as well. I mean, in the first game against the Bucks, he dropped 19 off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thompson has been a help.
Yeah, for sure, fitting in there just the way I thought he would.
Yeah. Defensively, I think they could be better. I think Smart could be playing better for sure as well. But, yeah, Tatum needs to be playing better and shooting better. taking better shots.
Yeah, shot selection. That is right what I was about to say. I think that's Tatum's biggest problem so far. Trying to play kind of in that Kobe mold of like just taking step back threes. Or I would even compare it to like the way Jamal Murray plays. You know, Jamal Murray gets away with playing like just taking perimeter jumpers off the dribble all the time, getting in rhythm like that. I don't think Tatum's quite that type of player. Not saying Murray's better than Tatum or anything like that.
He needs to drive.
Yeah, exactly. Tatum needs to get to the basket, get his points that way. If he's on a roll getting hot, then yeah, then that could warrant some step backs here and there. But that shouldn't be the majority of his shot diet.
Definitely.
And it has been so far. He needs to get to the rim more, get some free throws, take over the game that way. Jaylen Brown has been ridiculous so far. He's been the Celtics' best player so far this season, which was, I'd say, definitely a surprise.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was thinking Tatum was probably going to be, you know, looking forward into the future for the Celtics. Tatum was going to be their franchise player. Brown was more of his sidekick type of thing. But now, I guess anything's possible. What if Brown has a takeoff season this year, and now they just become like this just power dynamic duo of like just two all NBA level players? Do you think that's in the cards?
If Brown is consistent, consistency has been one of his biggest problems ever since he's been in the NBA.
Yeah.
So it's just he's got to keep going on a roll. I don't like the Celtics, but I do not mind Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
I like his play.
And yeah.
I honestly would love him on the 76ers. But, yeah, I think I actually also had him on my top three for most improved player.
Oh, yeah.
Recall. So,
I think you, did you put him one?
I might have, actually. I might have given him the most improved player.
Because I'm pretty sure I didn't put him one, but I think I put him somewhere in there, too. I was trying to stay away from second-year players, so I didn't choose, like, MPJ.
Yeah, I tried to as well.
Mm-hmm. I can't even remember who I picked, though. But yeah,
me neither.
We have a spreadsheet of all this stuff, so we're going to look at it.
Jaylen Brown dropped 42. Holy crap.
Yeah, I know. What? That's kind of fueling a lot of what I was just saying.
That is wild.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah.
But Peyton Pritchard, he was, like, has been coming off the bench playing super well. He's shooting 56% from three, 61% from the field. His free throw shooting's been okay at 67%. I think he probably is going to become a little bit higher than that. But yeah, he's been playing really well so far. The thing that has impressed me the most with him, you know, I haven't watched too much Celtics basketball yet, but in that that game against, who was that? That was the most recent game, I think. Not the Grizzlies, but the Pacers. Yeah, it was the Pacers two games ago. In that game, Peyton Pritchard won them that game down the stretch in the fourth quarter, especially like late third, early fourth.
Yeah.
He was just playing out of his mind, and not even in like just a hot shooting type of way.
He's got so much energy.
Yeah.
If you watch him on the court, like,
I don't know if I've seen a player go as hard as he has in a regular season game before.
He wants it.
For sure. He's just a hard worker.
And we did. Me and you both predicted that he would be a piece on that Celtics team.
Yeah.
So,
Jacob, I'd love to see it. Jacob was not super happy about the Peyton Pritchard selection. In the draft, he was very confused by it, which I was too positionally, but I was also like,
it made sense to me. I mean, Teague's getting older. You don't know if he's going to be great this year.
Yeah. And Kemba has health concerns. I do like the pick too. But it just surprised me after the Neesmith pick. Like the Neesmith pick surprised me because I was thinking they were going to go after a big in the draft, like a Precious Achiuwa, I thought would have been great for them.
Yeah.
But they didn't select Precious Achiuwa, they selected Neesmith, which I don't think is a bad pick necessarily. I just thought it would, positionally was a little different than I would have thought they would have done. And so then after that pick, them taking Peyton Pritchard later on, taking, you know, again, not a big, that just surprised me again. If they would have taken Precious at 14 or wherever they drafted, I think it was at 14, and then they took Peyton Pritchard at 27, that I would have loved it. Like, I would have been like, yeah, you got two nice players out of that draft. I still don't hate the Celtics draft. You know, if anything, I think I'm liking it more and more, farther and farther away from the draft.
Yeah.
I think that it turned out pretty good. I think Neesmith is going to be a guy coming off the bench. You know, he can play in the second unit and hit some shots. He started off a little slow in terms of shooting, but I think he can get there.
For sure.
And I think this team does need facilitator to get the offense going. You know, the Celtics team is such a great defensive monster, but so far without Kemba, honestly, it's been looking like they've been struggling with getting some shots, like getting some offense going. Trying to create offense without Kemba has been a struggle for them,
and
for sure.
When are they predicting him to be back?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's going to be a while, though.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you got to let him get as healthy as he can. So, just for that postseason. But, yeah, no, I think the Celtics will get better as the season goes on. Give Pritchard more minutes. Let, you know, Jaylen Brown play well. Jason Tatum get back to his, you know, insane play. So, we'll see. I think they'll still have a very good season.
Looks like it says Kemba won't be back anytime soon. That's what it says.
It's rough. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I agree. Celtics, I think, are going to be on an upward trajectory throughout the season. I think they'll figure out their guard play a little bit more. I'll be curious to see if they continue going with the Marcus Smart starting at point guard moving forward, just because there's not a whole lot of playmaking without Gordon Hayward and Kemba there. So maybe them starting Teague, or maybe even probably not Peyton Pritchard, but maybe at some point if that happens.
I'm thinking, though, point guard Pritchard, Smart, Brown, Tatum, and Thompson.
I like that.
More offense, a little less defense, but I think that would be a fun team to watch, and more dynamic on the offensive end.
Yeah, especially if Peyton Pritchard keeps playing the way he has been. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see. But those are our breakdowns. Well, I guess we should say where we think Celtics are going to end up. Or did you already say that?
I said second or third seed.
Okay. I would say I would agree with that. I would say at least top four seed in the East. I think that they're at least a second round team for sure. I'd be curious to see who is in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. I wouldn't put my money on the Celtics necessarily, but they definitely are one of the main contenders for that. And the Nuggets, I think, are definitely a second round team in the West unless we screw it up. But I'd be surprised if we have another conference finals appearance this year. I guess it's still within the realm of possibility. I think Nuggets and Celtics are pretty similar level in terms of how good they're going to be in their respective conferences. Maybe I'd probably prefer the Celtics a little bit more. And I think Sixers are a little bit more of a wild card just because we don't know what the roster is going to be looking like come March, come playoff time, which I guess is May this year, isn't it? Or something like that.
Playoff time. I think so. Around that time. I don't even know.
Yeah. this season's going to be weird.
Four to six seed for me. So anywhere from the 4th to 6th seed, I think, is where the 76ers will land.
That sounds right to me. So, yeah, we'll get to, like, rookies, stuff like that, in a episode sometime very soon. and expand more on, you know, just the happenings in the NBA. But I hope you enjoyed this very first episode of the year 2021. We'll be getting Jacob and Anthony back on this podcast more often as we, you know, talk more hoops, especially after Jacob gets married, because he's having a wedding. So he's been really busy lately. But after that,
working man.
Yeah. After that, I'm sure that we'll get some more content out for you guys. We do really enjoy doing this, but it's kind of tough fitting into our schedules as a hobby type of thing. We'll try to get more out for you. And just like and subscribe if you enjoy the content. And we will talk to you guys next time. Mm-hmm.